Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Annie Gibson.
You are, and I'm Helen Thorne.
And we have a returning guest. It is, of course... Say your name.
Oh, sorry, Stuart Goldsmith.
He's a professional podcaster, ladies and gentlemen. What is your name?
I have a habit of jumping in over people's introductions, and I was deliberately trying. I was trying not to do it because I thought you were going to introduce me, and now I feel like a fool.
Yeah, you failed already at the first hurdle.
I'm so bad at returning to podcasts, man.
Oh, welcome, Stuart Goldsmith, comedian, actor, podcaster, and now father.
Yes, thank you very much. I was busy tripping over actor. God, not for years, but yes, definitely.
Yeah,
father.
You were. We talked about the last podcast, you were in that
oh,
the
kids
thing, man,
yes, and that was your lot. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did that.
Can you just briefly mention this, because if you haven't listened to Stuart's podcast, do it, pause and go back. But you were a hottie on a BBC show, is that right?
You don't have to use the past tense in such a
I was no way. She's absolutely right.
Oh,
I was a hottie.
Oh,
I was on a,
I'm so glad it's audio, that's
I
all I'm saying.
I played a robot man in the future with a metal arm.
Oh, I was going to say something else.
It was my dream job, and I loved it. And then I ran down a metal corridor with explosions going off and stuff. It was absolutely brilliant, and it sank without trace. And I have nothing but very happy memories of it.
Oh, and a sort of even bigger career highlight, I would say, is you were the first non-parent we ever had on the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Yeah, I know, man. And I think my whole angle there, as I recall, was I'm a really committed godparent. Like, I'm seriously,
you
like, you know,
so
I've done
much.
I've done nappies and stuff. I've done, yeah. You know what I mean? I was an involved
a lot of
kind
Bible
of
readings.
A lot of... Yeah. Okay, I was a committed... What do they call them? I think in the Quaker religion, you're called an art parent rather than a godparent.
Oh!
Which, I love the idea of taking the God out of godparenting, but I don't think you should replace it with art. I think that's a little bit pretentious.
Anything you replace with art is going to sound wanky.
I can't remember if we talked about this before, because I've got two godchildren, but their dad, it doesn't like having the God element.
Sure.
In there, so nobody really knows. We don't really know what to call me, so we just call me their godmother behind
that
his back.
Woman. Yeah, that woman's back.
Yeah, yeah, that woman who comes around with the book tokens twice a year.
Yeah,
she's back.
Yeah, yeah. So I was here as a non-parent, and now I am a parent of a 2.5-year-old, and I have a 0-year-old on the way in October.
Oh. Congratulations!
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
The boys can swim.
But can they? The boys, I mean, both times, wow. First try. Sorry, oh, there it is.
Back of the net.
I mean, I'm not a blokey bloke, and that isn't the sort of thing that I would normally say, but it is the only one of those that I would say.
Falls like grapefruits.
We had sex, and I went, "You're pregnant now." And she went, "Shut up." And I went, "No, I genuinely think you're pregnant."
You need like a bell that you ring. Ding, ling, ling, ling. Done.
Yes, yes. But I mean, as I like to say to my husband, of course, Stuart, you'll never really know for sure if they're yours. Not for sure, not 100%, will
no,
you?
No, no, well, you know, absolutely not with a certainty.
No, that, not the, like we know, because the they came out of us. Yeah,
yeah. Absolutely right. Absolutely
little thought
right.
For you to get you through the rest of the pregnancy. I want you to be completely honest, is because you were very excited about being a dad, you're very keen to get on with it, get her knocked up with your enormous grapefruit-like testicles. but you were very into the whole idea of fatherhood. Has it lived up to your expectations?
Oh, God. I love him so much.
There's a button.
I was an idiot to think that... I don't know what I thought about. I never thought it would be easy. But the first 18 months were the hardest thing in my life, and I've been to fucking circus school.
You've heard it first. first here.
It was so hard, and I over the last 6 months I have become aware that I am over that bit, and I feel like not just about getting your life back. I feel like I've got. I felt like I exploded. There is
That's how we got into this.
there is a particular baddie in the Marvel universe who's not in any of the films, but a comic book. He's called Nitro, and his power is he explodes all of his molecules. He's like a human explosion, and then reassembles himself. And I felt that had happened to my personality, and now I am reassembled and I'm okay again. But fuck me. I found it so hard. I found it so hard. I found the pressure on the relationship of this baby, like a huge rock pressing down on all the careful strata of our relationship, crushing all the, you know, it was at the same time I just moved out of London to Bristol, so I felt kind of remote from a lot of my friends, it was blindingly difficult and made me really sad and angry.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, no.
I don't want.
Well, I've mentioned this before on the Ollie Mann podcast, the Modern Man, and I got some very nice emails as a result of talking about it there, which made me think, no, I was right to talk about how hard it was. I cannot tell you how in love with and besotted with this child I am, but certainly as a dad, I was jealous of the breastfeeding intimacy thing that his mum and him had. I felt. I just sort of felt a bit outside of it, you know? And I felt like I'm terrible with no sleep. That was the thing that used to scare me about the idea. I knew I wanted kids, but I was like, I need 8 hours a night or I get depressed. Well, guess what? I got depressed because I just didn't have enough sleep. And it just was all really, really hard. And I think every time I feel terrible saying it, but every time I say it was incredibly hard, I feel like there might be another new dad going, oh, is it okay for it to be really hard?
Because it is really
and
hard.
I'm a bloke. We don't talk to each other about stuff. I don't have like a gang of other... All the NCT dads were having a whale of a time. And I was like...
Were they, though? Or was it behind closed doors?
Yeah,
you know?
maybe. And my best friend had a child the same, similar time as me. And I only realise now that he does not talk about his emotions. We have, you know, we are close and we're very close and we have big ranging chats about business and life and lateral thinking and solutions to problems. What we don't do is open our hearts to each other. And I needed someone to, another man to hug and go, fucking hell, this is hard, you know?
Did you find one?
Eventually, yes.
Oh.
Yes, but he's been down the track. He's the parent of my godchildren. He's the father of my godchildren. So this was all, like, his initial reaction was, ha-ha, see? You know, and then when it happened, I think when it became clear that I was like, and, you know, it took me, I wasn't mooning around going, I'm depressed. It's now I can look back at it and go, that was so hard.
Yeah.
You know?
When you're in it, I think sometimes it's quite hard to see outside of it, isn't it?
So
you
absolutely can't
see yourself from a distance and go, so you don't have the room or the space to come and go, oh my God, this is really hard, but also maybe it's temporary or maybe it's...
Yes, whereas now I'm so looking forward to the birth of the second one because... the second one, as we shall be calling her. I'm looking forward to that because I feel like I'm going into it now knowing that it's going to be hard and I'm ready and I'm sure it's...
Okay.
Fine. I'm the same optimistic twat.
Sure, it's the same. Having two children is the same.
Oh, God. I cannot imagine. This blew me. I only thought about this a month ago. I thought, I cannot imagine looking back at the last 2 years as relatively easy.
Yeah, well,
you know, I'm sure I will, but I can't imagine it.
No. But you will. That is a guarantee. When you're trying to get two kids ready, then the baby's screaming and you're breastfeeding and you're potty training the toddler and they've just shat themselves and the Ocado man's knocked on the door and then you've forgotten.
Ocado, fancy. Yeah. Well, things are looking up in the Thorn household.
We live in Bristol, so we simply forage.
Yeah. But you just survive. And I'm now, like, my kids are 9 and 7 and it's like this golden time. Oh. They dress themselves, they read, like, all these lovely, lovely, lovely things. But then I will look back, you know, something will pop up on Facebook with my baby and my toddler, and I will weep for those times that I held them in my arms and they fell asleep. So it's always a different thing. But it's so good to hear you talk about it because that mum rage or that dad rage that you get.
I heard you talk about mum rage on the podcast. And I was like, yes, testify.
But we had, I've spoken about this on the podcast before. We used to have this rule is that anything you said before 6 was just deleted. Like, there'll be times I get 3 a.m.
That's good.
3 a.m. where I just go
diplomatic
and fuck you, you fucking cunt, just get the fucking nappies. And I just, like, all the swears and so much hatred towards my husband. And then I knew, but you're just going to go to work and I'm just stuck in with all this shit. And then you know, it get to 9 a.m. and go, and have a lovely day at work.
Yes,
you know, like,
yeah,
and it's like, you know, like in and Coyote and you know, when they clock out and then they're just friends again. That's what
Coyote,
it felt.
For a moment I thought that was the name of one of your children. Coyote.
Coyote, Comet and Dynamite.
And Hendrix, yes. Of course. Always a Hendrix. But
Rascal,
yeah,
the dog.
But yeah, you just don't know that you're going to feel that way towards your partner. But I think it's towards the situation.
And
it's
she not, yeah. And she is literally a saint. She is an ocean of calm, and she's an incredible mum. And but like, if she has one weakness as a mother, it's not realising how brilliant she is. Which, yeah, you know, of course, everyone I'm sure has that, or she'd be a psychopath. But she
that's horseshit. That's like people at job interviews going, "What's your
No, man.
Oh,
well, listen,
I'm just too organised.
When he was a tiny, tiny baby, because we live in Bristol, I'm a travelling stand-up comedian. I have to be away all the time, so she had to make the rules and go, "Look, this is what he does. This is the timing." She's very, very organised, and she's a magazine editor, so she's all over. Wow. You know, she's very on it. She, there's a joke from my show, but genuinely, when we were getting married, I briefly used the phrase bridezilla accidentally in the context of, "I'm not saying you're bridezilla." And then she said, "No, I'm organizedzilla." And I was like, "That is a worse monster." But she is. She's organizedzilla. And so one of the struggles I had was like, I don't feel like I've got agency in the way we do things. But of course, I realise now, of course I don't, because I'm fucking off for 4 days to go and travel and miss them both, but get some sleep. And so she has to organise the regime. I meant the regimen. The regime? She has
9:30 Mandarin lessons.
Yes, and when I come home, I have to slot into it. And I go, "Well, why don't we be more groovy, relaxed parents with kind of bedtimes, a little bit of a Vegas?" And she was like, "No, you're not here. I have to do this." And she's completely right. And she was and is amazing at doing it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because I think a lot of us kind of maybe have this idea before we have kids about parenting is, hey, we're just going to be a great team and it's just going to be partners and we're just going to work it out. And that works some of the time for some of the things, but there also comes a point with some things where just somebody has to make a decision, and it doesn't have to be the woman, but if the woman is the one who's having to deal with the shit all of the time, someone just has to go, "This is how we're going to do this."
Yeah. My suggestion that we take turns being captain fell on deaf ears. I don't know.
No.
I'm aware of, I'm a feminist and I'm aware of the mental load. I get that, and I try to not leave to, but you know, I don't plan things. I'm busy planning the income and the far reaching, you know, trying to have the ideas that I haven't had yet that are going to save us financially down the line, you know. So, but she will do really good. She's organized in it. She will do really good planning, and he does things, and she's like, "We're taking him to swimming," and I resented it for ages, and now I love baby swimming, or you know, toddler swimming. So I forget what the question was, but she's incredible, and I want to know how great she is, as if that'll make up for me being shit.
But no, that makes it's such a negotiation thing. And look, you have the NCT and you've got all these things that tell you how to have a baby, and then it just spits you out the day after you have a baby, and you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And no one really tells you how hard it is. No one really, really... No,
well, that was funny. When we would see... We'd be walking along with a bump, and we'd see someone in the neighbourhood with a one-year-old in a pram, and they'd go, "Oh, it's a very special time." And then we'd be walking along with a pram, and we'd see them with a kid on a buggy board, and they'd go, "It's fucking hell, isn't it?" Well, in many ways, thank you for lying, and I will continue to perpetuate that lie when I see people with
that. That is how the world works. It's worked like that forever. Let's not change that.
But I mean, looking back at that, you know, you said that 18 months, that was the hardest thing you've ever done. I'm just conscious of maybe someone listening to this, a future dad or a mum, who's kind of thinking, "Oh, shit." I mean, are there things you wish you'd known then?
The thing I always say to people is, every time I see someone with a kid and we get chatting, I always say, every decision you're making is the right one. You know, you're doing brilliantly. Whatever.
What if they're giving them Jaffa cakes for every meal?
Well,
and
that is correct. For their child, that's
well, they won't
correct.
Get scurvy, vitamin C, and the orange jelly.
Absolutely, there's always an up.
I got some incredible parenting advice from my friend Jenny, who is a very funny clown and visual artist. And I said, come on, because I've known her for years and we hadn't seen each other for a long time. She has children much older than mine now. And I said, what's your advice? And she said, surrender. Mm. Just surrender. And I'm looking to, like, I don't know if that's advice I can pass on yet. Is that good advice? I don't know. I genuinely don't want to scare anybody. Obviously, it is brilliant. There are incandescent highs. Mm. And as well, the context of me becoming a parent was I am a feckless stand-up comedian who used to sleep until 10, do whatever I wanted, do the work I wanted, survive on not a great deal of money because all of my money just went into doing more stand-up comedy, travelling, you know, eating on the road. That was all my expenditure. I just go to places, do shows and go back. And so I had further to fall than most. You know, because I was like, my life is set up and easy and it's a giant game of mousetrap that is fun.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I don't work because all the things I do to make money, I enjoy. And it's always been like that.
I can watch Loose Women every day.
Ironically, I used to be the warm-up man for Loose Women.
I know.
And so that is not something that I would watch now. But given that I don't watch really any telly and I have not really any knowledge about current affairs, I'm much more interested in American politics than UK politics. I say that as if it sort of gets me off the hook for being shit at engaging with British politics. But the only celebrities I know are, and, you know, you'll see Take a Break magazine or something, and you'll go, oh, Colleen's in the news again. And I'll go, I know that one, she's nice. You should get Andrea on. Andrea McLean is
I like her. Yeah.
Yes, well, I like her. She's foxy.
Oh, we've heard it first here. I was in the loos with her once, not like in a toilet, but, you know, she passed me. Great story. Please keep that in for the final. Yes.
What an anecdote.
Great story.
I've got a celebrity toilet story. It's a video game celebrity toilet story, better. Hideo Kojima. Hideo Kojima, who made the Metal Gear Solid series, which is a very, very famous series of Japanese games. Stuart, you're with me now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Where's the number on the CD? What could they possibly... It's the fucking CD! Incredible.
Exactly. So me and my friend were at an event in America, and we saw Hideo Kojima go into the toilet. So my friend followed him in so we could piss next to him at the urinal and see his solid snake.
You hid outside under a cardboard box, moving around, completely invisible to everyone.
Oh, well, there you go. Mm. I mean, but congratulations, Stuart,
Thank you very much.
You know, it sounds like, you know, you're through the first...
He made it through the wilderness.
I'm through the worst bit, A. Through the first worst bit. You know, I cannot imagine what it's going to be like with two. I just can't imagine it. And
I mean, it's twice the chaos, but twice the joy. That's what I like to say. Yeah.
That
more shit.
Sounds quite hard.
It's when you all get gastro. That's when you question your life's choices.
Being ill. He's had breathing difficulties. He's been rushed to hospital a couple of times. The sort of hospital trip where we've not been rushed. We've rushed into hospital. And they've waited, like in the children's A&E bit, and they've just gone, you're coming through straight away. That's scary, you know, he's also breathing difficulties. I have asthma. I presumably have passed on some element of that to him, so I also feel guilty for giving him rubbish genes. And that has been some of the most frightening times, seeing your baby or your toddler.
Nothing
like,
else matters,
gasping
does it?
For breath.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, that's no problem.
But not specifically the medical stuff, but generally... Life is harder now, and I'm a much better comedian. I've got a lot more to complain about.
I don't know what
about.
You mean.
I've got a lot more to complain about. I've got a much harder life, and complaining, you know, I make a living from complaining in a funny way.
Can't imagine what that's like.
No.
And well, there we are. And, you know, he makes me happy now, and so I'm like, don't make me this happy, we'll starve.
find the pain, and then you find the funny.
And two is obviously sort of more work, but also I think it is... easier in some respects because you do know a bit more what you're doing and you're maybe a bit less frightened of certain things or a bit less a bit more relaxed maybe. I don't know, it might be different for you, everyone's different, but
I think most things can be solved by Haribo, a iPad or Calpol.
Yes.
This is very much my parenting style. I'm like sort of like, you know, improvisational parenting. I benefit so enormously from all of the things that my wife put in place there were structures that I was like, we don't have to do it like this. No, we always have to do it like this. And now I see other parents who didn't always do it like that, yeah, whose kids are all over the place, and I'm like, oh, I benefit enormously from all the things I complained about.
Yes, like, well,
you know, he was sleeping. She's got terrible insomnia, my wife, so she desperately needed to get at least 2 hours sleep a night. Mm. So he was sleeping in his own room from 3 months. And that, I feel like, is quite early. Mm. And so that, you know, he's always had like a, that's it, bedtime, you're down.
But this is it. You've got to do what works whatever for you.
Yeah. My son slept in our bed for the first 9 months. And Will slept in another room. And that worked better for us. Mm. You know, he got, Will slept and we breastfed and we just got through it. And then Hugo and Will swapped and then Hugo slept and Will came back to the marital, you know, boudoir. Yeah. So that was lovely.
And my second son was 2 months early. So I had a thing about his breathing, funnily enough. So he wouldn't sleep in the bed with us. So he slept in a cot next to our bed for 2 years. Which I don't totally recommend, but again, that sort of worked.
Hear about from other parents and from our own experience, just do whatever works.
Exactly,
just,
right.
There's not really any kids. Whatever works,
yeah, exactly,
is fine. And some just people get through it.
Some people can survive on no sleep. Some people are like, you know. But I know others. It's so important.
Just my worst self.
Yeah.
For a year and a half, I was the worst version of me. And I just went back to having anxiety and doing lots of kind of going out of the room and doing silent screams in the car on my own. And doing just all the worst bit.
Yeah, I don't remember you mentioning that as a sort of, you know, imagined vignette when you came on the podcast.
No,
silently screaming in your car.
I knew it was one of those ones where I knew I'm a bit, you know, I've had mental health problems for a long time. I've had lots of problems with anxiety, a little bit of depression, but mostly anxiety. And recognising after years that, oh, if I get 8 hours sleep a night, I tend to be fine.
Yeah.
And I would cling to that. That's my special thing. Well, you can't have that anymore. And that terrified me. And now, that was a great bit of advice I've given. A mate of mine who's got 4 kids. I said, tell me there's some light at the end of the tunnel. He said, you do eventually get used to being tired. and that was not light at the end of the tunnel. But now I'm like, you really do.
Yeah,
you really do used to being tired.
Yeah.
But I don't want to put anyone off. It's genuinely
great. Yeah, but it's great.
Best thing we've ever done.
It is all worth it. I don't know. I know lots of people who have a hard time. And lots of people have had a harder time than I've had. But nobody says it's not worth it. Nobody says
totally. And the other thing is, there'd be no point on me coming on the podcast that I could just fill up hours and hours and hours of really boring chat about how wonderful he is.
Nobody wants to hear that.
He's done. No one wants to hear that.
Nobody cares.
No one cares.
I barely care what gender he is, Stuart. I don't want to see any pictures.
He hasn't decided
I don't want to know his name. Oh, good. Well, fatherhood chat done.
An excellent fatherhood chat.
Thank
very
you, good.
Stu.
Thank you, Stuart. Let's have some podcast chat.
Yeah.
So your podcast, The Comedian's Comedian, how many episodes have you done now?
251.
Good Lord.
Wow.
So what have you learnt over all that time?
Well, the show's called The Comedian's Comedian, and in it I talk to my fellow comedians in depth about their creative process, and I try to really grill them on their vulnerabilities and what they've learned and all that. You know, really, you know, we often get asked, as comics, you know, we often get asked, you know, where do you get your ideas from? And I try to really drill down into that and how do you develop them and stuff like that.
We usually get asked, what's wrong with you?
But Why are you doing that?
Most of the things I've learned from it are to do with... sounds sappy, but they're to do with mental health, confidence and coping.
Mm.
I have also learnt a bunch of little writing, not tricks, I've learnt a good bit of craft, but I think the most important things I've realised are that everyone has imposter syndrome, apart from Jimmy Carr, who's a robot made out of willpower. But everyone else has imposter syndrome. Everyone thinks, oh Christ, what am I doing? Everyone has speed wobbles. Everyone has to come up with solutions to their own anxieties. As a comic, you spend a lot of time on your own. As a writer of comedy or a writer of anything, you cannot do it without spending time having a think and trying to think of a funny thing. And spending time on your own can, for a lot of people, be quite a negative spiral. Of my friend Pete gave me a brilliant strategy. When you're writing and you think to yourself, like, I've just written my 8th hour of stand-up comedy, it's not finished yet, but it's in a good place at the moment. And when you sit down to write hour number 8, you can't help but think, how can I possibly do this again? All of those other times must have been luck. I've run out of things. There's just a litany of negative thoughts about your creativity. And the tip I got from him was, go to the back of your little notebook, keep a tally chart, keep a title, like a heading, I can't possibly do this again. And then a different heading might be, I've run out of things to say. And a different heading might be, blah, whatever. Every time you have one of those thoughts, flip to the back, just put a little tally in there. Good, tick, I thought that again. And then go back and get on with it. Mm. And that stops you from ruminating on that negative thing. You just go, okay, I'll think about that later. And very quickly, you find yourself...
You just file it away.
Later on, when I'm having a big, awful worry about my creativity, I can look back. And of course, you never do. And the number of tally marks you make is fewer and fewer over the course. It's like, I don't really do it anymore.
But, like, so you've had, like, 251 episodes. Have you sort of got an end goal or an end in sight? Or you just want to just keep going and see where it takes you?
There's no end goal. No, the plan is to do everyone.
Yeah,
and
that was like Ellie's 20s.
Yeah. Whoa! Looks like we're done here.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So you've had some amazing guests. I won't ask you who your favourite guests are because people always ask that, and I honestly, it's like choosing between my children. Obviously, absolutely. You have a favourite, but you don't want to say.
No, never ever.
I'm joking, future children listening. But I guess so. Maybe a better question or an easier question is to someone who hasn't heard your podcast before. Like, how should they get into it? What episodes would you recommend?
Well, who's a good entry level one? Well, they're a lot of them they're very different. If you want technical joke writing, there's a bit in the Gary Delaney episode. Gary Delaney is a brilliant one liner comic. He's also married to Sarah Millican, sort of comedy dynasty. But there's a bit in the recording of that where he very casually goes, well, I mean, he writes incredible one-liners. And there's a bit where he casually goes, well, obviously, you know, the way to write a one-liner is... And he just very casually says, on the way to making another point, he's like, you get the words A and B, and then you put them there, and you get the fulcrum point, and then you make that as close to that as possible. And you could hear that one was recorded before a live audience. You can hear everyone get their bags and... what was that, you know? So that's like a big technical one. Right. The Adam Bloom one is a big technical one as well. If you want to hear me have an argument about whether or not privilege is a thing with Bill Burr, you can listen to that. 9 minutes of that is cut out and frequently appears on the internet in getting enormous YouTube revenue I don't see any of under the headlines of, like, Bill Burr destroys male feminists and things like that. I wasn't destroyed as far as I'm aware. And
I don't know that I do need to listen to that.
but, you know, it is... It'd be great to have him back on because I've got some more things to say to him.
Oh, did you think loads of things after the thing?
Well, yeah, I just wasn't... I didn't realise that he had quite such... He has an enormous following amongst men's rights activists. And, you know, he is a brilliant comedian. He has an enormous following amongst people who are not men's rights activists. But I didn't realise the extent to which he is championed by kind of almost the alt-right. And that's... I'd love to hear what he says about that. I mean, later in that episode, he kind of disavows the MRAs and calls them all idiots, but they never clip that bit. They just put the bit where he destroys...
Of course they don't,
no. So that's a fascinating one. The Jimmy Carr one, you see a side of Jimmy Carr that no one ever sees. He genuinely is enormously passionate about comedy and a real champion of comedy. I think the Lee Ridley one is really interesting. He's performs under the name Lost Voice Guy and won Britain's Got Talent. Mm. He was on the show about a year ago. I mean, I just could go on.
Well, I mean, you've got some exciting episodes coming up, Stuart.
Oh, yeah. I've got these couple of whores. Your words, and I have them all over there.
I prefer slag.
Then that is, you're right. Couple of slags coming up.
Couple of slags coming up soon, so that's good.
So what are your favourite podcasts? What do you like to listen to?
I don't listen to many comedy podcasts because I get enough of that at home, yes, as it were.
I know, so, that feeling. Yeah,
I listen to NPR Politics, which mm-hmm. is really good fun. I listen to Boars, Gore and Swords, which are two American comedians, but they're talking about Game of Thrones.
Yes, I mean, a Westworld podcast.
They do one called That Doesn't Sound Like Anything to Me, which is their Westworld podcast, which is excellent. The comedy one that I love is Brian Gittins and Friends, which is David Earl, brilliant character comic. There's a character called Brian Gittins, who was on Derek. Excellent. And I would recommend that to anyone. I think it's brilliant.
Excellent. Well, Decoding Westworld, I've just said it was the podcast I like about Westworld. What are you listening to, Helen?
I absolutely love The Greek Cast by Carrie Ann Lloyd. Yes, and we've had her on the show.
Amazing.
Yes, Ellie got me into a podcast called Happier by Gretchen Rubin, which is just about tools for getting happier.
Yes, I've heard that one, yes.
It's really, really, really great. And I just love hearing two sisters bang on.
Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness. Jonathan from Queer Eye.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my God. It's great. It's great. He's great. You properly spend it, and this is true of it. A lot of heterosexual men have had the same experience. You watch Queer Eye and you go, that one with the long hair is a bit much. He's just a bit too screaming and camp. And then by episode two, you're like, he is my favourite. None of the others exist. And he does his own podcast called Getting Curious. And the latest guest on that is Helen Zaltzman. UK podcasting's champion.
Yes,
Helen Zaltzman.
The queen.
And it is so lovely hearing the glee with which they talk to each other. So
That sounds great.
And also The Tuck Shop, which is comedian Reese Nicholson and his housemate, I believe, doing commenting on episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh yes, I'm in.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Yeah, but our new favourite podcast. Have you heard Dear Joan and Jerrica? Was it Jerrica and Joan?
No, Dear Joan and Jerrica.
Dear Joan and Jerrica. Have you heard this? So it's by Vicky Pepperdine and Julia Davis.
Okay.
And they play these sort of, and they are problem solvers, they're agony aunts.
Okay.
And people write in with these problems. And I can't even begin to describe it because I'm already going. It's just one of the funniest things I've ever
heard. Okay.
It's really rude, really dark.
Are they improvising in character as scripted? Yes. Okay.
It's so warm and wonderful to listen to.
Great. I'll definitely
filthy
like that.
And naughty and wrong, really wrong.
It is
wrong.
Dark. It is.
We love it deeply, so it's great.
But not one for the kids.
No!
Anyway, now, have you got a game for us today?
Yes, I do, Ellie. The game is called Did They Really Say That?
Go on.
On your podcast, I would say, we get to know you, but we don't get to know a deep, like, you don't dissolve, what's the word? We say
I
too much.
Not to dissolve.
Divulge,
yes. I think we've said too much on this podcast over the years, so I was going to guess.
You have, I've heard it.
Because you've listened to some episodes, haven't you?
Yeah.
Some of these you might know, but some of these, who knows?
So I'm going to play a game, and I'm going to test Ellie's memory of whether she said, her or I said these things on the podcast. And you've got to buzz in to say yes or no, this is true.
I have to buzz in against Ellie?
Yeah.
Okay. How do I buzz in? Do I say the word buzz?
Yeah, say buzz. What are you going to say, Ellie?
Bing.
Did one of us on the podcast say they ate giraffe?
Yes.
Yes.
I have eaten
bing,
giraffe.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that was a bing. Bing, that was the wrong
buzz.
Answer to say
buzz.
Hey, piss down the wall. Bing, point to me.
All right.
Glad to see you're as competitive as I am. Your whole body language has changed. You're set against me now.
Don't touch me.
Okay. Did one of us on the podcast admit to having anal sex after too much Southern Comfort?
Buzz, yes.
Because it was with you, Stuart. Of course you know that one.
All right. Did one of us on the podcast admit to weeing in the bath as a birthday treat?
Bing. Yes. And for an extra point, I can say it was Helen Thorne. She weed in the bath on her birthday for a treat, and she'd had a Barocca, so it turned
Wow. I'm happy for you to have that extra point. That's it.
So much detail. So much detail. Did one of us on the podcast admit to meeting Ray Parker Jr. and singing a song to him?
Buzz, yes.
Yes!
Yes.
Illy, recount.
I met Ray Parker Jr. and obviously we were talking to him about the Ghostbusters song, and I said, what do you think of the Ghostbusters 2 song, which obviously was done by Bobby Brown and not yourself? And he went, can you sing it? And I went, if it's up to us, we've got to make it happen.
Right.
And he was like, nobody ever does that.
The ever is the key word. Ever, because what that suggests is he says that line to people a lot.
Yeah, he gets asked that fucking question by twatty journalists all the time.
Oh, dear.
Oh. Okay, finally, and I think you know where this is going. One of us, did one of us clap really loudly to cover the sound of her own fart?
Oh, that is good. I'm going to go, yes, it was Ellie.
No, it was me!
If you could reenact the moment for us now, please.
So I was talking to my neighbour, who happened to be quite a big person at the BBC, and I wanted to impress her. I was talking about a very loud fart just snuck out, and so I just went...
It's such a shame this isn't video, because the expression on your face when you just did that, it was like religious ecstasy.
I'm just talking to Sue. I don't know why I did it. But I'll just make some additional noises and it'll just sort of blend. Oh,
what a day. What a day.
Clappity clap clap, go the flanks, and we're off to the GGs, off to the races.
Oh, yes.
Oh, amazing scenes.
Great, anyway.
Oh, what a great game.
I mean, it wasn't really a game more than a list, but there we are.
I think I won, but it was about many things I have said, so I feel like the odds were stacked in my favour.
Defined winner.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
I know, we've been going 5 years. I thought, you know, let's provide some highlights.
Let's have some greatest hits. No, yeah, I like it. Now, have we got a Scummy Mummy confession to share?
Ooh.
Have you got, because you mentioned Julia Donaldson earlier. Have you got a thing about Julia Donaldson?
Oh, well, it's not really a confession. I think half of Julia Donaldson's output is some of the best children's literature there is, and the other half of it I cannot stand. So it's very hard to buy a Donaldson.
Ooh.
Because you don't know whether you're going to get the next Paper Dolls or the next Monkey Puzzle.
You don't like Monkey Puzzle? I'm looking at a copy of Monkey Puzzle right
Monkey
now.
Puzzle.
I love Monkey Puzzle.
And I tell you what, I'm particularly unsettled by a butterfly with a sort of big human face with a big nose.
But it's got like almost like a cock-like nose.
Yes. I think that's why I'm unsettled.
He doesn't like the cock-like nose.
But Paper Dolls is one of the greatest works of literature.
I haven't read that one.
Oh, God. It has an incredible halfway point. You know, a lot of her stuff, halfway through the book, you'll suddenly go, oh, God, that's what this is really about. Mm. You'll work out what it's really about. And the one in Paper Dolls, I literally cannot read it without audibly sobbing as I'm reading it.
What's it about?
I don't want to tell you. I want you to discover it yourself. Bitcoin. It's about Bitcoin. I think it's great. On the subject of things that my kid is into, I do have a sort of quasi-confession. I don't know if it's up to the sort of the normal disemboweling ritual.
Does it involve
of this
poo?
Bit.
Yeah.
There's no poo in it, but my boy loves Kung Fu Panda and Moana. And I'm so lucky because they're both such great. The Kung Fu Panda franchise and the movie Moana
love them.
Are just great. The bit halfway through Moana when she is learning to sail and so she ties her hair back. You go, fuck yes. You don't see a Disney princess or equivalent sort of thing tie their hair back, roll their sleeve, fucking go on, Moana.
Yeah.
So I regularly, when driving home from a gig at 1 a.m, when I get to that bit where I'm like, the adrenaline from the gig has worn off, I'm not a dangerous driver, but I'm feeling a bit sleepy. I need to change up the podcast listening and wake myself up. I regularly will listen to the whole of Moana and sing along. And I'm getting pretty good at the Polynesian in We Know the Way. But specifically, I am Moana Bracket Song of the Ancestors.
Yes.
I cannot get through that without heaving and crying. It is so good.
Yeah.
A bit with her granny.
Yes.
And then when she realises that the voice isn't out there at all, it's inside. Oh, God!
Stop!
Oh, God. And literally, I'm the hair. You can see the hairs.
Look at the state of you two. Don't wet yourselves on my sofa.
I should say, I was always that kind of person pre-parenthood, but now I am very much that kind of person. And he was watching it. God, this is lovely. He was watching it the other day with us. We, you know, watch it fairly regularly at the moment. And at the bit at the very end, don't want to spoil anything, but there's a bit at the very end where there is a big sailing scene.
Mm.
And
me and my wife looked across at the boy, and he was tearing up because it is so emotionally powerful. It's just a huge narrative resolution and the future and all this stuff. It's so powerful. And she just kind of nudged me and said, look, look, like that. And we looked across and he was looking at it and his eyes were just shining and he was tearing up at the beauty of it. And I went, he is definitely mine.
Oh, that's a lovely story.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And then everyone pooed everywhere and we were like,
oh, excellent. Have you a confession for us today, Thorne?
I was just thinking, I bought Ellie's son's birthday present at a service station.
Excellent.
Great work.
I bought your
four
son...
four cans of Heineken.
Yes. No. And some screen wash. Love it.
Screen. Oh, his little face. Oh.
That's what you're known as, Auntie Screen Wash. Yeah.
A neck pillow in the shape of a pig. And a Costa latte. and our sons are born 11 days apart, yes. So we have to get them preserved. So I bought your son a Lego set, which he already owns.
Yes.
So we're absolutely nailing
the thought and care.
Next year, should we just not?
Vouchers, just cash.
Just nothing.
Oh,
just,
that's better. Because it crosses each other out, doesn't it?
Well, there we go. Snail in the Whale, how do we feel about that, Stuart?
Don't like it. Do not like
it. Get out of my house.
Don't like it. I'm going anyway.
Anyway, Stuart's doing a show in Edinburgh. Don't know when it is. Don't know. Don't care. Get out of my house. Now, come on, Stuart. Plug your Edinburgh show.
Oh,
where
sure
is
thing.
It? When is it? What's going
it's
on?
It's called End Of. It's at the Liquid Rooms. It's in a 250-seater venue. So this year, there will probably not be a huge, exciting queue around the block as there was last year. This year, you've really got to come or I'm going to feel so lonely. 250 daily, not the 16th, throughout the whole of August. And it is free, but do bring money. You get in for free and you're allowed to leave and you're allowed to look me in the eye while you leave and not pay. But you will want to pay because it is really good.
We're doing some shows, aren't we, Ellie?
We are doing some shows.
Why don't you guys tell me what shows you're doing?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Stuart. We're doing Cornwall. Mm-hmm. We're doing Manchester. We're doing Sutton Coldfield.
Bromsgrove. We're doing East London. I've got it all planned, but we'll be doing a big show to mark 5 years to the day, the live shows of the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Amazing.
So, and that'll be in the London, so do
great.
Come. But we will be
I might try and come along to one of those, because I love the sound of it, having not seen you live from the discussion we had on my Comedians Comedian podcast, which your listeners might like to download an episode with you talking about how you do the things you do and your secret feelings for each other. you described the live show to me on that, and they sound properly fantastic. I hadn't realised they were as different as they are. So they contain elements of your podcast, but also loads of other stuff.
Yeah,
that,
they're just
that isn't
really the only
the
element of the podcast they contain is the filth. So if you like the filth, come along, come down. Our book, as always, is well, not as always. Currently, our book is still in print.
Yes, I mean, if you're listening to this in 2024, probably not. But yes,
you have to go to the British Library to read it. But do follow us on the social media at Scummy Mummies.
Yeah, and that's about it. Please rate, review and subscribe. We love that, don't we?
Yeah.
And listen to Stuart's podcast as well.
Anything else you want to plug, Stuart? Where can people find you?
Where can they find me?
I mean, not like in a store.
Online. What is your handles?
At ComComPod for the Comedians Comedian podcast. You can go to comedianscomedian.com. What should I be plugging? I'm not going to plug anything.
Fatherhood.
Fatherhood is an advert for fatherhood. If you're thinking about becoming a father, please do it. I think it'll be good. But if it doesn't work out, don't come crawling to me.
There you go, lads. Stuart Goldsmith has spoken. Thank you so much, Stuart.
Thanks.
You've been amazing.
For having me.
Until next time.
Bye!
Goodbye for now. Goodbye.
When in our old show, we do it still sometimes, we do an adult, because we were like, why should CBeebies be just for kids? We do an adults version.
Oh, that's good.
Called Sexy Beebies.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's
so disgusting and so disgusting. Ellie is Iggle Piggle.
Yes.
And I am Macca Packa.
I know Iggle Piggle.
Oh,
what?
How do you know him?
Theatre job together. We were very nearly in a street performance double act on the street, but we never got around to it.
Oh my gosh.
But he used to go to my circus school, different year to me. He's Iggle Piggle. I hope he's
doing well. What does he need to go to circus school for? He does his fucking stand there and waggle his legs about with his blanket.
Mate, you do not know what you're talking about.
Played Iggle Piggle on that bloody stage for 3 years.
Skin work is one of the hardest and least appreciated disciplines.
I thought that meant something else in the media.
Skin's on.
That's one of the reasons they work so hard.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, maybe you can give me some tips on improving my Iggle Piggle performance.
We should get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
Does he talk about it?
I say he's my mate. I've not spoken to him for years. We got on really well on a theatre job years ago. Lost touch. I'm sure he'd come on the podcast. He's a lovely bloke.
Everyone likes a bit blue.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.